as we come to this psalm the third and final time this morning. It has been my hope in spending this month in Psalm 18 that this psalm will become increasingly dear to your heart, and it will become a go-to place for you in times of trial and suffering, in times of feelings of failure and needing deliverance from sinful habits, or needing God's help in dealing with conflicts and enemies in your life. It's really important for us to have hooks to hang our faith on. And that's how I see so many key scriptures, as being specific places where we go and we hang our faith upon that truth, because there are times in which we doubt, times we struggle in our faith, and we need to run to the scriptures to again be built up and to be reminded of who God is for us in Jesus Christ. Let's pick it up this morning where we left off last week in verse 30. This God, His way is perfect. This God whom David has just lifted up as being the one who has triumphantly delivered him from his enemies and strengthened him. This God, His way is perfect. His way is fully complete. His way is everything that it should be. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but He did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation He brings to His king, and shows steadfast love to His anointed, to David and his offspring forever. The psalm ends reminding us that these are the words of the king, King David, as the prescript to the psalm tells us that these are the words that David the king lifted up to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And so you see this military theme throughout the psalm that we have noticed. And we have noticed that God is our strength. He is our defender. He is the one who comes to our aid. He is the one who fights our battles for us. He is God. He is the Lord. And in this final section, David praises God for intervening in his circumstances and coming to his aid when he needed it the most. This morning, God wants you to give thanks and praise for three specific ways that he intervenes on your behalf. Number one, praise God for renewing you with strength. Praise God for renewing you with strength. David gives clear testimony here as to who the source of his strength is. It is not himself. His strength does not originate with himself, but it was from the Lord. It was from the Lord that Isaiah would later direct Israel to, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who does not faint or grow weary, but gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. It is this God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who is the source of David's strength. And so he calls God his shield in verse 30. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. He is the protector in times of battle, as we saw in a previous message. He is the one who through the shield of faith, enables us to push away or deflect the attacks of the evil one, as Satan, our enemy, throws relentlessly his darts at us. God is our shield in times of battle. God is the one who equipped him with strength. Look at verse 32. The God who equipped me with strength. He gave me strength. He made my way blameless. We noted last week that that word blameless doesn't mean that David is saying that he was sinless, but that God gave him the strength to remain faithful to God, to persevere. When he did sin, he repented. He got back up again and kept serving the Lord. How? It was through his strength. David repeatedly gives testimony in this psalm that he does not have strength within himself, but that his strength comes from God. We live in a world that says you just need more self-confidence. You just need more self-confidence. You just need more self-confidence. And David repeatedly says, no, what we really need is more God confidence, God confidence, God confidence. Knowing that in ourselves, we really don't have the strength that we need, but it is the Lord that gives us the strength. Boys and girls, you may like the story in the Bible, a true story of how David defeated the giant Goliath. I know that. For my kids, it's one of the favorite ones we always keep going back to because the story is great. It's one of triumph where David beats the Goliath. But I want you to think this morning, whose strength killed that giant? And was it David's strength? Did Goliath fall because David was an expert with a slingshot? That's not what David would tell us. That's sometimes not what we think. Sometimes we think that the reason that Goliath fell before David is because David was just so faithful and true. He was just all that time out in the pasture. He was always throwing rocks with his slingshot, and he was just an expert shot. Well, there's no doubt that that's at least part of it, because he does give testimony in this psalm that God is the one who prepared his hands for battle. God is equipping him for that. But if you read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where we find the account of David killing Goliath, this is what we actually read. Goliath says to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I'll give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into my hand." Repeatedly throughout that testimony, before David fires that stone, he is giving glory to God as being the one who is the source of his strength, and God is the one who's going to defeat you. The same is true in our lives as we face enemies, physical enemies, spiritual enemies. We need to know that the Lord is our strength. The Lord was David's strength. God defended his glory through his servant David. David was able to be courageous because his focus and reliance was not upon himself, but it was upon the Lord. Boys and girls, as you grow up, the Lord's going to ask you to do many things for Him. And you need to understand that you don't have the strength in yourself, but He has the strength. And He will be your courage. He will give you courage to stand up for Him. Maybe you're already seeing that in school. Some of you perhaps are a little farther along in your education, and you've had to stand up to certain situations and people, even in the school that you go to. Who's going to give you the courage? Who's going to give you the strength? The Lord will give you the strength. Honor His name. Lift up His name. David says, "Your right hand supported me," verse 35. And verse 36, you gave a wide place for my steps under my feet. In other words, you gave me a secure place to stand. I wasn't standing on the edge of the cliff, but no, I was standing in a wide place, safe place, a place where my feet would not slip. You equipped me, verse 39, with strength for battle. Over and over, David gives testimony to God being the one who supplied his strength. But this is more than military strength. This includes spiritual strength and strength of spirit and fortitude and endurance. The ability to persevere under difficult circumstances. This strength comes from the Lord. I like what Steve Lawson writes. Quote, "The Lord enabled David to stand with strength on the heights, a place of victory. David could fight triumphantly because God empowered him supernaturally to bend a bow of bronze. God alone sustained him to make him great before his enemies. The Lord made David's footing sure on the path to victory so David would not fall. Every victory David won was due to God's empowering him." That ought to be our testimony. That every victory that we gain in our spiritual lives is because of the Lord's empowering, not our own. Yes, we obviously have personal responsibility to submit to the Word of God, to obey, to turn away from sin, to put off sin, put on righteousness. But at the end of the day, who is the one who must get the glory? It is the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, do you feel weak? Do you need strength? Are you tired? Is your spirit worn down? Are you in the midst of a trial that has gone on far too long? And you find yourself just crumbling, buckling under the weight? Know that God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. God will make His strength even stronger, make more perfect, more complete in your experience as you rely upon Him. Do what David did. Run to the Lord to have your strength renewed. Admit to Him You don't have any strength left. You can't go on. You want to do right. You can't do right. You don't have strength to do right, but you want to, and you need the Lord to help you. He'll give you the strength. Trust the Holy Spirit who lives within you as a believer to give you the strength to stand strong, to be of good courage. Praise God for renewing you with strength. There's a second reason to praise God. Number two, praise God for restoring you from strife, or we might say after strife. Strife has a way of wearing you down and leaving you extremely weak and vulnerable. And David's testimony here in verse 43 is, God, you delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. See, God delivered David, making him the head of many nations, giving him military superiority. It is God who gave to David this victory. It is God who gave to David the strength. It is God now who, after the battle, is restoring him. You delivered me. He's restoring his power. He's restoring his influence. He's restoring his position. Near the end of his life, in the last letter that he wrote, the Apostle Paul gave similar testimony of God's intervention in his troubles and his conflicts. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. We don't know what kind of harm. We don't know anything about this guy, Alexander, the coppersmith. But his opposition to the apostle and his ministry was so great that it warranted naming him in Scripture. He did the apostle great harm. But Paul said the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Paul was confident that God would take care of matters in the end. Beware of him yourself, he says to Timothy, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me. Isn't that great? Though the others didn't stand by Paul, he was left alone to fend for himself and to defend himself. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Paul experienced what David experienced, that deliverance from God. Paul experienced what Jesus had predicted in John 16:33, when Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think the world should be our place of peace. And that living in this world we should have peace at all times. And yet Jesus says, no, in the world you'll have tribulation. In the world there will be trouble. But know this, that if you're connected to me, if you are in me and you are abiding in me, then know this, that I have overcome the world. And because I have overcome the world, then in me you can also overcome the world. David saw the Lord's faithfulness to him, to deliver him, to restore him, to heal his soul. And if you've ever been through severe conflict, you know what he's talking about. And you know that you don't necessarily bounce back right away. You know that there's time for healing to take place. But know this, that God is your healer. God is the one who will restore you. God is the one who will renew your strength. He will restore you after that time of strife. And He will do it according to His time and according to His plan. I'm sure many of you here today can relate to this. And many of you have gone through times of turmoil, strife, conflict in your life. And maybe you're even in the midst of one right now. And perhaps you're even still wounded. But know that the Lord is the healer. And that by His grace and through His word and through the love of the brethren, He will give you this wide place to stand on. He will place your feet secure again. He will heal your hurts. He will restore you. You need to lean on Him. You need to lean into Him. Not away from Him. Sometimes we try to do it alone, right? Especially if we've been hurt really, really badly. We have the tendency to back away, pull away from people, don't we? And yet God says, no, the way I heal is by you leaning into Me. Leaning into the people of God. Leaning into those who love Me and will therefore love you in return. God is so faithful. Praise Him. Praise Him for restoring you. And then thirdly, praise God for recovering you in salvation or through salvation. The Lord lives. Look at verse 46. This is a triumphant declaration. The Lord lives. And blessed be My rock. And exalted be the God of My salvation. What's David saying? David's saying, God is great. God has intervened for me. He is the God of My salvation. And then verses 47 and 48, he summarizes this saving deliverance of God. And he says, You rescued me. Verse 48. Now, I could have again used the word rescue, as we saw earlier in the psalm, but I chose instead the word recovered. Because I want you to see how God works in our lives to recover us for His glory. Our world likes to speak of people as always being in recovery. The recovering alcoholic, the recovering drug addict, the recovering this, the recovering that, as if to imply that a person is always in the state of recovery, is always in the process of recovering to a healthy state. It implies that one never truly becomes a new, changed person. And yet the hope of the gospel is so much better. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave to fully recover us for God. And if you know Jesus Christ, then your life has been recovered for God's purposes. It's been recovered from you wasting your life in sin. It's been recovered from you being deceived in false religion. It's been recovered from a life that is bankrupt of God's blessing and hope and joy. You see what God has done? He reached into the slave market where we all had a price tag on us, and He redeemed us. He purchased us. He recovered us back to Himself so He could shower upon us His blessings in Christ. That's what he's done for us. He's recovered us for his purposes. Now, yes, you may continue to battle the rest of your days with certain temptations. But that's not what defines you. As believers in Christ, we are not defined by our sins. We are not defined by our past. We are not defined by our even present weaknesses. We are defined by Christ. We are defined by who we are in Christ. So if you know the Lord, then you now belong to Him. He has recovered you from a life wasted on sin. And He's given you the victory in Jesus Christ. He's already given you that victory. Romans 6:10 says, "For the death Jesus died, He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." That's our identity. This is who we are. Because Jesus died to sin and rose from the grave and was victorious over sin. Therefore, you and I, in connection to Him, we have died to sin. And we are alive to God in Christ. See, our identity is bound up with who Jesus is. And that's why we should do as David does. We should enthusiastically praise God as the one who lives, who is my rock, who is the God of my salvation. Skip down to verse 49. "For this I will praise you, O Lord." David is determined to continue to be a man who praises God for his salvation. And he doesn't just do it silently, privately, but among the nations, verse 49. "And sing to your name." This is something that David wants to do together with God's people. If you're new to Cornerstone or new to the whole world of Bible-believing churches, you may wonder, as I did when I came at the age of 19 to visit the first Bible-preaching church I had been in. I wondered, why all the singing? I liked it. As Bobby testified, I wondered, why all the singing? And if you know the Lord, you know, why all the singing? Because you can't stop singing. And you want to sing not just privately in the shower where no one else can hear you, but you want to sing for all to hear among the nations with the people. Great salvation, verse 50, he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. God showed his steadfast love to his anointed King David, but also to his anointed offspring forever, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of David, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a wonderful psalm this is. And I hope that God has really used it to minister to your heart and your soul these few weeks, giving you a place to go, times when you need His strength. Let me just give you two takeaways this morning. Number one, make God your refuge in every trial and your fortress in every conflict. That's what David's doing. He's making God his refuge. He's determining God is the one where I'm going to run. He's going to be my refuge in every trial. He's going to be my fortress in every conflict. Make him that. Run to him, hide in him, trust him for your safety and security. Remember the promise of Romans 8:39 that nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, Psalm 34:19 says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Make God your refuge in every trial. In your fortress, in every conflict. And number two, place your confidence in Christ, who has already overcome every spiritual enemy. He's already overcome every spiritual enemy. He's already been raised victorious. Place your confidence in Christ. Don't place it in yourself. Be like the Apostle Paul, who said in Philippians 3:3, I glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Put your confidence in Christ, who has already overcome every enemy. 1 John 5:4, what a wonderful truth. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. In Christ, we are overcomers. It is God's strength working in us, through us, because of Christ, that we can stand secure and safe and be abounding in praise and thanksgiving for all that He is and all that He has done. And so, Father, now as we come to the table of the Lord, we give you thanks and praise for our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the greater Son of David, the King that was born in Bethlehem, the King that is one day returning to set up his kingdom, and we live between the time of his first coming and the time of his second coming, and we want to still live to exalt the King. So, Father, we give you praise for your Son. Thank you for giving him to us. Thank you for his willingness to go to the cross, to take upon himself our sins, so that they could be properly judged by a just God. Then, Father, thank you for raising him from the dead to prove that his sacrifice was acceptable to you. And now life and victory is ours in Christ. Oh God, we give you praise and thanksgiving.